You have your Bibles tonight. Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. I want to read probably down through about verse 13, Isaiah 43. Not that I will speak from all of this, but Brother Joe mentioned this passage today in his preaching, and it's been on my mind since that time. And thank the Lord for what I heard from him, as well as all the other preaching that we heard over at Bear's Run. Today it was a blessed meeting. Enjoyed the good fellowship on the road too, as well. Thank God for that. We didn't fall out or anything, and were able to get there and back. And everybody seemed to be of good spirits and felt good about the trip. So we just have so much to be thankful for when the Lord takes care of us. And this is really what this passage is about. It's about the Lord's people and how the Lord takes care of his children. And a lot of it could be applied to the children of Israel, as Isaiah wrote as a prophet unto the Lord's people in that day and age that were about to go or had been in Babylonian captivity. And the Lord wrote to them of how the Lord is taking care of them and has taken care of them even as they were brought out of Egyptian bondage, and how the Lord had just been with them. But I'd like to think about it tonight in the sense of how the Lord takes care of us today and the application for us today, as the Lord is truly our God and has been so good to each and every one of us. He says in chapter 43 and verse 1, he says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. And since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed them, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled who among them can declare this and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" That really means, who shall turn back the work of Almighty God. Verses 8 through 13 really talk about, as you look around in the world and hear the testimony of the world and call out to the world in a sense, all the things that they're trusting in, all the gods that they've made, all the things they're bowing down to worship to, all of those that they're giving honor and praise to, which of them can do what our God can do? And the answer to that is absolutely none of them. There are God's many in this world. There are Lord's many. But he's saying, which of them is like God? Which of them can tell us in prophecy, as he did about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ so many years, even from the beginning in the book of Genesis, he prophesied of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Barnabas mentioned that even today in his preaching. And then throughout the prophecies given in both the Psalms and the book of Isaiah and the book of Daniel, the very days or the very moment of Jesus' coming here into this world was prophesied, so that we have been given those prophecies. And then when Jesus came, he fulfilled all those prophecies. Which gods of the world, and which gods that men are bowing down to, the gods that they have made, those are those that have eyes. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. And there's gods that have ears, and there's gods that have eyes, but they can't see, and they can't hear, and they can't do anything. And thank the Lord, we're not serving one of those little gods. There's a lot of people that said it doesn't matter who you serve, as long as you have faith in something. As long as you have, listen, there's only one God, and there's only one Savior, and there's only one Lord, and there's only one Son of God. The Word that was with God in the beginning was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And he is the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he said in verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me, get this, there is no Savior. Now the world will say, you know, you have your God, and I have my God, and as long as we have a God, everything's okay. Listen, there's only one God. And tonight, we don't want a God that wants to help you or like to help you. Or if you'll let him, you know, the world talks about a God that you have to be his hands, that God's hands, you have to be God's hands, and you have to be God's feet, and you have to be God's power, and that the Lord has left it up to us to do that which he did not do or saw fit not to do. Our God is in the heavens, and the scripture says he had done whatsoever he had pleased. Psalm 115 tells us that. And when the scoffers come and say to us, where is that God? And they will certainly say that to you. They'll say it to you when you're in the midst of the storm. They'll say it to you when they're in the midst of the battle. They'll say it to you when you're on a Saturday night meeting and you just got a few folks in the congregation, and you got an old flesh that says it to you as well. But then the world says it to you, and the old devil will say it to you. The enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ will say it to you. Listen, our Savior tonight is just as strong as he's ever been. He's just as much Lord as he's ever been. He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm so thankful tonight that, not that I make him that way by declaring it, but that I can declare the truth that he is God. And what he says here in Isaiah 43, you've heard me preach on this before, if you've been around here very long, and most of you here tonight have been around here long enough, I'm sure you've heard me. But isn't it good tonight that we can agree tonight that our God is unlike any little God that's out there in this world? Therefore, he is worthy of our praise and our adoration. And as we occupy until he comes, may we occupy in a way that we're always acknowledging to one another that our God is on the throne and our God reigns. So as the storms come and the problems come and the trials come, we're going to go through them because of him. And he may be one who, he may bring one even upon us at times. And if he does, it's for our good and for our benefit. And if he suffers it us to go through it, it'll be for our good and for our benefit. And we're not outside of his watch care. We're not outside of his love. And so if you feel like you've just got more than you can handle, let's just look to him tonight. Let's just lean upon him. And you hear me, and sometimes, you know, I've got... Sometimes I start complaining so much, and I appreciate those of you who on occasions remind me that I ought not complain so much, and you do it in kind of different ways, but in a way that hits the point. I'm thankful for you and your encouragement. And I want to be that encouragement to you tonight, as well as you be an encouragement to me. then let's remember that this little church, the Lord, is the Lord's planning. And the reason that we are here is not because we awakened ourselves, but because He awakened us. And that He's led us this way, and He's been with us, and He continues to be with us, and He'll be with us until He comes again. And that could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, but He is coming. But until that time, may we be faithful just to be right where He would have us to be each time the church meets, to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. He says in verse 1 of Isaiah 43, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel." These are words, Jacob and Israel, that identify, I believe, in this passage, in a spiritual way, the Lord's people, the chosen people of God, the chosen family of God, the Israel of God. Those that are spiritual Israelites, those that are the elect of God. The Bible calls them those that He foreknew. The Bible tells us of those that He loved in covenant before the very foundation of the world. Those that He made choice of. Those that He chose in Christ Jesus. And He says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob." That means He made us. Now, He made us naturally, but He not only made us naturally, He made us spiritually. He's the one that created us naturally, but if we are His children, and we, every one of His little children will be called out and made alive, He's the one who made us spiritual. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And if therefore any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. He's the one who made us." And I love the Psalm 100. Anytime I'm reading a verse like that, it's kind of one of my favorite psalms anyway. But the Psalm 100 very clearly and very plainly says, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." In verse 3, "It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." So we didn't do something in order to make ourselves one of His sheep. We are one of His sheep because of His sovereign choice of us. And He sent His Son to die, not for everybody, but for His sheep. And His sheep were the ones that He bought and paid for. And His sheep are the ones that are going to be with Him in heaven and immortal glory. Isn't it wonderful to have a sweet hope tonight that we are one of those of His sheep that He loved even before the foundation of the world? And this verse tells us that He created us, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. I love to think about the Lord forming and fashioning us in our mother's womb. And that's who did that. We didn't just get there on our own. It wasn't man's work. It's God's work that makes a little baby in its mother's womb. That's why that life is valuable and meaningful, and should not be snuffed out at the will of any man or any other person. It's not just anybody's choice to make that. That's what God did. That's the work of God. And the new creature is also the work of God. If we're born again, we're born from above. We didn't have any more to do with our second birth or our new birth than we did with our first birth. As a matter of fact, we were in our first birth, we didn't have anything to do with that. That happened to us. And the new birth is, as He says, "As the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor where it goeth, so is everyone." And that means all of us are born the same way. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. Now, how much did you and I have to do with that? No more than we had to do with the wind. Y'all would think I was crazy if I started to tell you I can control the wind and make it blow here and blow there. But a man who stands and say, I can make the new birth happen or keep it from happening. I can cause it to happen. I can tell someone what to do in order to get born again. I would be just as incorrect as if he said, I've got control of the wind. We know who controls the wind. The Lord brings it out of His treasury. Now, men might tell you all kinds of things about how that wind blows. They may point to all kinds of science. They may point to all kinds of ideas that cause wind to blow. And, you know, the molecules heat up and they expand and then they rise. And then the other molecules move in place when they go. But who designed all that? How did that happen to be just like it is? How did that even occur? Who's in control of all that? I'll tell you, the Bible tells us about our God who not only created all things, but it's by His power that all things consist. That's not a little God, is it? That's not a weak God. Aren't you glad that your heavenly home isn't in the hands of a weak God or a little God? Aren't you thankful that your walk here in this world and your day-to-day walk, and it is important for God's little children to rest in what the Lord did for us eternally. But it's just as important. It's our duty as we occupy until He comes to trust in Him right now. That's where old Gary has the battle. Maybe you have it too. And if you do, I pray tonight that this passage will help you and that you'll find peace in knowing that it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Who did Jesus come to save? He came to save His sheep. Who did Jesus save? He saved His sheep. Who did Jesus die for? He died for His sheep, for His people. How many of His sheep are going to be with Him in glory? Every one of them, without the loss of one. He didn't lose. And when He went to find 100, He didn't get settled with 99. He went as far as it needed to be in order to have all of the sheep into the fold. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that all that the Father giveth me, and that's talking about His sheep, shall come to me. And that's in regeneration. That's in the new birth. That's when they're born again. That's when the Holy Spirit immediately, by His power, regenerates them, and it's a Holy Spirit operation. It's not left in the hands of the preacher. It's not left in the hands of the church or the Sunday school teacher. It's not left in the hands of mama and daddy. It's in the hands of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit quickens, and they hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear, which is every one of them that He speaks to, shall live. And that's what we believe. We believe that what Jesus came to save, who He came to save, He saved. And who He shed His blood for was His people. He didn't shed it for everybody, as I've said many times, in hopes to get somebody. He died for His people, and that's particular redemption. He shed His blood and redeemed His people. And He tells us there, right here in this verse, they are His sheep. He says, "Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." Oh, good words. Fear not. You ever get afraid in this old world? Get up this morning and my ticker doesn't feel just right, and I sit down with that little device and check it out, and it pops out, you know, first of all, unclassified. And you know, you never like to see something say unclassified. What's that mean? You know. So I check it again, and then it pops up possible atrial fibrillate. I'm not getting it right. AFib. And I go like, wow. So I go again and keep checking until I get a normal. And then I feel a little better when I get a normal. And I get scared. Start thinking. Already scared about going to the meeting. Couldn't sleep last night worrying about what I was going to speak on or what I might say or how I was going to be able to do when I feel so inadequate. And that's not getting better for me. And what I need to do is apply more of His word in trusting Him for each individual effort that I make before the Lord's people. All of the worry in this world doesn't change anything. I don't affect anything. I don't add one cubit to my stature. And I show dishonor, really in a sense. And I to Almighty God, because He's promised, if He's called me to preach, He'll give me that which I need to preach. And if I do what He's asked me to do, what He's commanded me to do, and I study His word and I lean upon Him, then I can trust and depend upon Him, and if it isn't what I think it ought to be, it really doesn't matter. It's about pleasing Him. And that's not only true for me, brothers and sisters, it's true for each one of you as you fight your battles. No, you don't have maybe that one I had with the AFib, but I don't have yours either. I know this, you've got yours. The Bible tells me that. And I'm not being harsh or judgmental. It just says man that's born of woman. I think that we all qualify to that, don't you? It says we're of a few days. Most of us have lived longer than a few days, but we've of a few days. And then it says, and full of trouble. So if we're waiting in this world until the trouble goes away, we'll never get to that place. But I'm telling you, we've got a friend in Jesus. And we've got a God who's a big God. And we have the Holy Spirit who loved us. God loved us in covenant so much that he sent Jesus to die for us. And Jesus paid the sin debt for us and redeemed us and secured our home in heaven. And also has given us in time everything that we've needed for every day, every moment. There's never been a time that you, from the beginning when he formed and fashioned you in your mother's womb, there's never been a time his eyes have not been upon you, because his eyes are in every place. And he's cared for you. And the Bible teaches that absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And when he tells us to fear not, he's not making a suggestion. I'm talking to me, but I'm talking to you too. Let's not be afraid. You say, how can I not be afraid? I can trust God. I can lean upon God, who's never let me down, who's never told me a lie, who's never written one thing in his word. What was that Brother Joe preached on this morning? How God had kept every promise and had fulfilled everything that he had said. There was not one thing that God had promised Joshua that Joshua in his lifetime had not seen God keep every promise that he's ever made. I'm telling you, every one of us here tonight could say that. The Lord has been so good to me. I can't thank him enough for all that he has done. He says, he that formed thee, fear not. And there's a reason not to fear. He says, for I have redeemed thee. That means he's washed us in his own blood. He's the one who has made us. Over in Ephesians chapter 1. Got to make sure we check in with Ephesians chapter 1. If we're preaching, we want to be sure we understand what he says in Ephesians 1. He says in verse 7 of Ephesians 1, he says, in whom, that is in Jesus, we have redemption. How is it that he redeemed us? What did it cost our Lord for us to be redeemed? We say grace is free, and it is free to us, but was it free to him? What did it cost him? I'll tell you, it cost him his life. He suffered like no man ever suffered. He endured the agony and the pain that would have been ours in an eternity of hell. And he endured it in a span of time on the tree of the cross. Yes, he was verily man, but he was more than just a man. He was the son of David, but he was not only the offspring of David, but he was the root of David. He was the branch that had come forth from David. He had come forth from God, and he was before David. He was before Abraham, even before Abraham was, he said, I am. And he's the one who came, went to the cross, and there at Calvary, he reconciled us unto himself with his own shed blood. That's the gospel. The gospel doesn't say he tried to do it, and if you'll do your part, you'll be a part of that. That's an offer. That's where he would be offering himself unto man. And Jesus Christ never offered himself unto man. He offered himself once unto God. And God received that sacrifice because it was holy and righteous and acceptable. There was no spot or blemish in it. There was nothing wrong with it in any way. When he offered himself unto God, God received that sacrifice. If he had not received that sacrifice, his body would have never come forth from the grave. But because it did, we can see the surety of our justification as we see the resurrected body of our Lord. And he's seated right now on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for us. Does that sound like a little God to you? Not to me. Does that sound like a one we could trust in for everything we need in time? He said, fear not. I've loved you enough that I bought and paid for you so that you'll be with me in heaven forever and ever. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a blessing. What a promise. He says, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. I mean, somewhere in your life. I don't know when it happened for you. I'm not sure exactly when it happened for me. It's a great mystery when the Lord calls us and brings us in from a state of death to a state of life. But somewhere in your life, it could have been for some of you in your mother's womb, it could have been in an early point in your life or whatever time it was, somewhere the Lord quickened you and made you alive and called you out of a state of death to a state of life. And he spoke to you and you heard his voice. And like Lazarus came forth from the grave, you came forth from a dead state in sin. And you were obedient to him, but it was a passive obedience. Like Lazarus came out of the grave, you heard the voice of the Son of God telling you to live, and you passively, obediently lived. You didn't. How much did you and I have to do with that? Did we choose God, or did God choose us? He called us. He said, I have called thee by thy name, and this is what we ought to get. That means we belong to him. Apostle Paul says, you're not your own, you're bought with a price. Verse 2 then says, when thou passest through the waters. I love to think about the word through, because we're not going to get stuck into trouble. This is what it's talking about, affliction and troubles. It says, when thou passest through. In the midst of them, you feel like I'll never get through them. But the Bible says we'll get through them. When thou passest through the troubles, the waters, here's the good news. I will be with thee. When thou passest through the rivers, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Remember those three little Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. And they weren't little children. They were grown men, but they were young men. And they were in that fiery furnace because they were not going to bow unto the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had placed there. And although all the crowds around them were willing to bow, they were not going to submit to that because they trusted in a God that was greater than any image or any false idol. And they were not hesitant to answer him in regard to this. We will not bow down to thy image, O King. We're not careful to answer thee in this matter. And our God is able. Was God able when they went into that fiery furnace? The mighty men that threw them in was immediately destroyed by the power of that furnace. But I'm telling you, it didn't affect those three Hebrew children. As a matter of fact, they went in bound up. And wrapped up. And so that they went into that fire. All the fire did was really burn off their bonds. Burned off the ropes. It didn't. The smell of smoke wasn't even on them. They didn't even smell like they'd been in the fire. And they were cast in bound. He said, look, we cast in three men bound. Oh, I see four men loose. Oh, I could be preached on that. Three men that were bound were loose in the fire of affliction. You know, does not God do that sometimes in the midst of our affliction? We go in bound up. And as we go through the storms and the trials, we're made to trust in him more. And we're not alone in the midst of the fire. And we see his manifest presence. And he takes care of the situation and the problem. And we sit and wonder, how could these things be? It's because there's a God who is on his throne that has made us and keeps us and will continue to be with us even until the end. He says, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And he says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. That is the Lord that we serve. What a great God we have to trust in tonight. So as we meet each and every time, may we come trusting in the Lord and leaning upon him. May we look to his word as a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path. May we pray that the Lord would bless our ministers as they stand before us with liberty of their calling. so that they might be able to preach in power and demonstration of the Spirit. May we also pray that the Lord would open up our ears and our eyes and our understanding and our appetite so that we would be hungry and thirsty. You know, if you have a good meal in front of you and you have no appetite, it's of no benefit to you. But may God make us hungry and thirsty. I say to you, if we came praying and looking to the Lord, I believe if we look to the Lord, He will answer. I'll give you one verse in leaving Romans 10 again. That's been on my mind somewhat. This verse, again, another one that's so often misapplied. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." There are some who just apply that to anybody who wants to, then can just grab a hold of Jesus. All they have to do is choose to do that. They completely ignore the fact that the natural man cannot and will not. The carnal mind can't even, it's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. The dead alien sinner can't do anything because he's dead. The man by nature is totally depraved. His heart's not right. His head's not right. His hands aren't right. There's not a thing about him that's right. As a matter of fact, it's not only not a little wrong, it's altogether wrong. There's no good. There's none good, no, not one. But whosoever is talking about God's little children who've been touched and tendered by the hand of God, and we as God's little children can call and have been given the ability to call and the knowledge to call, and we ought to be calling. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that is trusting in His power and what He's done for us, just what we've read tonight about in Isaiah 43. Here's a shall for you. Here's a shall. You know, the shalls of the Bible, old Baptists are famous for saying the shalls of the Bible are things that are going to happen. They are the shalls that are going to happen. Here's a shall for you. We call on the name of the Lord. We'll find deliverance. And we don't know how He's going to deliver. He never promised us He delivers the way we want it to be delivered. But He promised us He will deliver us. Isn't that a great promise? May the Lord bless us not only to hear that, but to believe it and use it to occupy until He comes again. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.